Miles for singing that song. Amen. I choke up every time I hear that song. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got
to learn. I'm learning to lean every day. Yes, I'm learning. I'm learning to lean. I am learning. Yes, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I am finding more power than I ever dreamed. I am learning. Yes, I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Let the church say amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Good morning to everyone that I didn't have an opportunity to speak to, and to those I did have an opportunity to speak to, good morning again. This morning we're going to talk about an old familiar subject, why we should love Jesus. Why should we love Jesus, or why we should love Jesus? Before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. Our God and our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us once again, O Lord, because we woke up this morning, because you woke us up this morning, doesn't mean that we had to get up. We needed your power and strength to get us up, and your blessings to put us on in our right use of our mind, our bodies, and our limbs. We thank you, O Lord, for use of those things and for your blessings that you give us. We thank you this morning, Father, for we've seen a brand new day. Unlike yesterday and unlike tomorrow, we shall never see this one again. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything you do for us, every blessing that you give us, every breath of life, every morsel of water, morsel of food, and every drop of water that you give us. We have so much to be thankful for, and we're just so thankful for all of those things. Father, we thank you for family, friends, relatives, and loved ones. We thank you, Father, for one another. We thank you, Lord, that these blessings are because of you, not because of me and not because of you all, but simply because you give us these blessings. Father, we come praying this morning thanking you for the members of this congregation, the leaders of this congregation, and the brothers who have worked in this congregation thus far. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for those who shall come from this point on. We ask you, kind Heavenly Father, that if it be your will, you would bless us and keep us. Help us to do the right things and live the right way and walk the right walk and talk the right talk, O Heavenly Father. Father, we pray for our leaders in this world, those who direct and guide our power seat, those who make the rules and the regulations that we must abide by in order to live in this world. We thank you, Father, and we pray that anything that they make, any rules that they make, will not harm or hinder us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, and we pray for our troops all over the world, especially those who are members of this local congregation here. We pray in particular for those who are far away from home, that they may soon come home. We thank you, Father, for guiding them and leading them and blessing them, and ask that you continue to do likewise. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the parents who are raising their children. We pray that they would raise them up in the admonition of the Lord, and that they be better adults when they grow up. Father, we just thank you for everything. We pray and ask you to watch over now and guide us as we go through the following services, O Lord. We pray and thank you for Jesus Christ, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross, that we may have this opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for everything. Now, my Heavenly Father, if If it be your will, might you find this worship service acceptable and favor with thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ages ago, someone raised the question, what's in a name? A name distinguishes us one from another. We are given a name to identify us. And I know that some might say, well, can't two people have the same name? Yes, yes, and yes. Most people will not answer until they are addressed by their given name. The name Jesus is a special name. The Bible tells us it is a name above every name, the name of the one who is highly exalted. But do we understand why this person who has this name should mean so much to those of us who know him? Let us look to the Word of God to tell us why. We should love Jesus because of what he has done for us. Because he chose us. According to John 15 and verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen and ordained you. These are the words spoken to the disciples. The word is also given by Paul in the Ephesian letter. In Ephesians 1 and verse 4, he said, according as he has chosen us to him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, I talk a lot about love, but I just want you to know I don't be making it up. It's in the Bible. We were blessed before the world was, before we were his. Not only did he choose us, but he loved us. The word of God says in John 15 and 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. These are not just idle words, for Jesus did not talk idle words. In John 3:16, the Bible tells us how that God gave us his only begotten Son to give his life on yonder's cross. And we should be so happy and so glad that Jesus died for us. Titus 2 and verse number 14 puts it all in a simple picture that's plain for everyone to see. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And still, some don't or some won't call the name of Jesus. And so I ask the question, are they ashamed of the name of Jesus, the one that saved us? He warned us already that if we deny him before men, he will deny us before my Father, which is in heaven, in Matthew 10 and verse number 33. I may as well let you know we don't have to deny Christ by stating denial. We don't have to state, I don't like Christ, or I'm giving up on Christ by stating that statement. We deny him each and every time we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, by not coming to church. Or by the words that we speak. The time to get serious is now and not later, for later may be too late. We should love him because of what he can do for us. To anyone who loves the Lord, it should be amazing to us when we think all that the Lord is able to do for us. Watch Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, where the Bible says, now unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. There's nothing that we can even think of that God can't do, much less anything we can ask. If we can think of it, God can do it. He is able to save all that come to him, unto God by him. He liveth to make intercessions for them. He is ready and willing to intercede to God on our behalf. He is able to keep every promise that he has ever made according to Romans 4:21. If God ever made a promise no matter how long ago, we can count on it to be fulfilled. Now I want you to notice in our text for today, in verse number 21 of Matthew 1, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Now Jesus has done so much for us, and he's still doing for us. That ought to be reason enough to those to ask the question why we should love him. Why should we love him? We should be happy to give him all the glory, for he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Most of all, he is able to make all grace abound toward us. Somebody said, well, what does that mean? Well, it lets us know that we have glory reserved for the saints. Our bodies one day shall return to the earth, and our spirit will return to God who gave it, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7. The Lord holds all in his hands, all power and all glory, as well as eternal life. Now somebody might ask the question this morning, how can God be so powerful? Because he has all that power in his hand, given to him under the authority of our Father, God, the Father, to his Son, Jesus, God, the Son, Jesus. So when I go back and I visit that scripture again, the text tells us, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. If that's not enough to love him, then I don't know how much more you need to love him. We should love him because there are some things Jesus won't do for us. Somebody may say, well, what are you talking about? I thought he would do everything. Well, we should be happy over some things that he won't do for us. The Hebrew writer said it in the 13th chapter of Hebrew, verse number 5. For he has said, and that was speaking of Jesus, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's one thing he won't do for us. He won't leave us. When it comes to leaving, I think we do the leaving, and God is still there. God will always be right where you found him at, but it's us who leave. One could make this statement, and he couldn't guarantee us of being there. He couldn't guarantee the accuracy and truth like Jesus can. But Jesus, if he said it, he means it, and he will do it. Jesus won't forget us. According to John 10 and verse number 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of them, of mine. In verse 15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Nor will he fail us. Due to his mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 22. I don't know about you this morning, church, but I'm so glad today that the Lord will not forsake us, he will not fail us, and he will not forfeit us. There are several things he wants us to do for him, though. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to work for him. He wants us to bring others to him. He wants us to live for him. Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. He wants us to pray one for another. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to be forgiven to one another. He wants us to edify one another. The name of Jesus should never be forgotten by a Christian. It is a name that should be in our hearts. It's a name we should love to hear. Now, I'm so glad that Jesus won't do those things for us, but I'm so glad of all the things that he will do for us. The name Jesus is to a Christian as should be rolled off the tongue as easy as good morning or good afternoon. But some of us, we just don't seem to love Jesus. And I can't figure it out. Why not? Who do you know that can make your mornings? You know, we say good morning every morning, but who do you know can make a good morning? Who do you know can make a good night? Who do you know can make a good afternoon? Nobody but Jesus. One day, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. If we can or won't show him love today, tomorrow may be too late. So I say to you this morning, these are reasons why we should love Jesus. And when I go back to the text and I see that where it says, and she will bring forth a son. Now this tells me that Mary was going to bring forth Jesus. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And then verse number 22 says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Jesus has given us everything in this world, every reason in this world to love him. And no reasons at all whatsoever to hate him. But yet I'm afraid that there are many who, they don't say they hate him, but they must hate him because they don't obey him. When I think about how good God is, I ask myself one question this morning. And I've asked you the question before, so I'm going to ask it again. If it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be? Where would we be if it was not for Jesus? Where would we go if it was not for, where could we go but to the Lord? What could we do if it were not for Jesus? And most of all, if you don't love him, I need to ask the question, why not? You know, and loving Jesus is not, how do I put this, it's not the same as loving your spouse. That's two different kinds of love. The kind of love that Jesus wants is a love that is a faithful love. Agape love, that's right, Brother Miles. The kind of love that Jesus requires from us is the kind of love that he wants us to give him in return for his loving us and his doing so much for us. How do you suppose you got here this morning? I know what you say. Well, my clock said it was 7 o'clock and I should get up. But somebody had to give the clock the time. Somebody had to give the sunlight the right to shine this morning. Somebody had to tell the moon to move over and let the sunshine come in. Somebody, and I know who that somebody is. That somebody is Jesus Christ. So why can't you just love him? It's not hard to love Jesus. When I consider what all the things that he has done for us, especially that Bible that's in the Bible that we call the Bible, the miniature Bible in the Bible, I call it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that if all who should believe in him should not, all who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Now I want you to consider that for a minute, if you will. Do you know what the term everlasting means? Sure, it means everlasting. I know that's what some of you might say. But it means farther than everlasting. Everlasting is without an end. There will be no more beginnings, but there shall never be another ending after everlasting. God will allow us to live forever and be with Him forever if we just do the right things while we have an opportunity. And I used to hear my grandmother used to talk about the old ship of Zion. She used to talk about that old ship of Zion. And I didn't understand it then, but I know what she meant now. I understand that she was saying, you need to get on board. You need to get on board, and you need to get on board so you can be on board when the Lord comes, because one day He is coming. He is going to come, and you don't want to be found unfavorable in His sight, because that'll be danger for us. Do you remember what that text says? Once again, He will save His people from their sin. He will save His people from their sins. Jesus saved us from our sins. We were already dead to the Lord, but Jesus saved us. And He's still saving us today. Now, when I think about all the things that Jesus has done for us, I think about how that He made me to get up this morning. He made you to get up this morning. He protected us last night from the storms and the rain and the weather. Now, I know there was no weather like that last night, but the other night, He protected us from that rain and that storm that came through here. But you know something? God is good, as I say all the time, but God didn't have to do it for us, but He did it for us. And sometimes, when I ask myself the question, Brother Jackson, I say, Lord, why are You so good to us? And then I answer my own self, because I say the answer can be found in the Word of God. The Word of God has every question you can ask about life, death, and living in this world and living in the other world one day. Everything that you can think of, God has already answered. Now, I know there are some folk out there who come up with new answers. They tell us that things like that are just old-fashioned. And I don't want to get into all the particulars about that, but when they say it's old-fashioned, that tells me they don't believe in God. Because if it was old-fashioned, that's saying that I don't trust what the Word of God says, and I got a new meaning or new definition for whatever it is that they're talking about. But you know something? I believe it was Ecclesiastes who wrote, there's nothing new under the sun. The book of Ecclesiastes that said there's nothing new under the sun. You think all this stuff that's going on is something new? I got to tell you, it's not. There's nothing new under the sun. There was troubles going on way back in the early days of the Old Testament. There's trouble going on today in the New Testament. There's troubles going on everywhere you look. Every time you turn around, there's trouble and bad news. And sometimes if it wasn't for bad news, there would be no news at all. But as I told you last week, I'm ready to turn the evening news off now, because I'm tired of hearing about all of this stuff. And you know something? The news media doesn't focus on the good things that happen. Good things that happen don't sell newspapers and airtime. It's only the bad stuff that sells airtime and sells newspaper. Now, I get up every morning and I look at the newspaper. I don't look at it faithfully every day, but I look at it at least several times a week. And when I open it, the first page has always got a headline on there that'll blow your mind. And then as you flip through the pages, there's more stuff. And I say to myself sometimes, Lord, I've already been there and I've already seen that before, but it's come up again. I've already been there and done that, but here it is all over again. So I ask you this question. This is the Lord's house, the Lord's church. He built this church upon this rock, Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church. Why do we have so many empty seats? Can you answer me? I don't think so. But I can give you my definition of it, because there are some people that don't love the Lord. Otherwise, they would be here. Now, I know what some may say. I didn't have a way to get there this morning. Well, make a way. I couldn't come because I was just too tired and too sleepy. Well, go to bed earlier. I had something to do. Do it after service. But then there are those who would say, well, every time I come to church, they don't talk about nothing but the Lord. Well, that's what we're here for. What else should we be talking about? Last night's bingo game? So when I consider that all the stuff that's going on in this world, and let me see if I got all the stuff that's going on in this world, I can't find a reason to go to church. That's an impossible thought to think. Because for all the things that are going on in this world, I need the church now. I need to be around each and every one of you. I need to be here so that I can draw from you and hopefully you can draw from me. I need to be here because I love the Lord and you ought to love the Lord just as much. Now I know, and I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you this again because I want to hear it again. When there was a time when I wouldn't step foot inside the church. I was a member of the church, but I wouldn't go. And as I told you, my youngest son brought it to light for me. He asked his mother, he said, why does he take us to church, but he don't go in with us? I didn't have an answer for him. I couldn't answer him. All I know is I started going to church after that. And I'm not going to brag, but I haven't missed any Sundays since then. I know I need to be in church. I know you need to be in church. I know you need to be here where the Word of God is spoken. And you may not like the way the Word of God is spoken by me, but somebody will speak it to you. As long as they're speaking the Word of God, listen to them. You know, I can't rewrite the Bible. I don't have enough smarts to rewrite the Bible. So if I tell you something is in the Bible and I read it off for you, trust me, I got it from the Bible. So if you're thinking about as these days get warmer, these Sundays get nice and warm, if you're thinking about getting up and waxing your car, don't do it. Wax it after service. Or get up early enough in the morning and wax it before you come to church. But then preacher, I'll be too tired. I won't feel like coming to church. Well, don't do it before. Do it afterwards like I told you in the first place. Yeah, there's always Saturday. But I'm so busy running around on Saturday, I can't possibly do it on Saturday. I got to go shopping. Well, Sunday, if you went shopping Saturday, you ought to think and ask yourself, who made it possible for me to go shopping on Saturday? I need to give him back to him now on a Sunday so that I can serve him right. I need to get there so I can let my brothers and sisters know how much I love them and how much I need them to love me back. I need to be here. And I know what some of you are saying. You seem to be harping quite a bit on church and going to church. Well, that's because we need to fill the pews. That's because we need to reach out and touch somebody. We need to reach out and grow this congregation. We need to grow the Word of God. God has already given us the Word. We need to make sure that it goes out. And I know what some of you might be saying. Well, I come, isn't that enough? That's enough for you, but what about somebody else? You're supposed to edify one another. You're supposed to even love your enemies. I know that's a hard thing to do. Love somebody who crossed me. Preacher, you must be crazy. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you just what the Bible said. The second greatest commandment of all is what? Love thy neighbor. The first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. But then you love thy neighbor. And your neighbor doesn't have to live next door to you. Your neighbor can live across town from you. You just need to get in there and edify him or her and show them love. You know, one of the greatest things of all that a person can tell you is to walk up to you and ask you what church you go to. I know you go to church. I can see it on you. That's a great compliment. That's a great compliment. But then not a compliment when your neighbor says, I saw you at the same party I was at last night. You were out of it because you didn't see me. That's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. So all I'm going to say this is my final closing. Now all I'm going to say is that we need to make sure that we get here on Sunday mornings. We need to be sure that we tell somebody to come, bring somebody with us, or at least tell somebody. You can't force nobody to come with you. You ought to go to church with me. And just stay on that for a little while. And just maybe, they'll say, I'm going to go to church with you today. How long y'all be in there? And you can tell them, well, the preacher doesn't talk very long. So tell them they'll be home by 12:30 or 12:45. That'll bring them in every time. And then when we tell them about the meeting that we're going to have, tell them we got food. They'll come. Yes, sir. That's right, Brother Lowe. They'll come for the meal. Now, you may not get them back anymore, so you got to get in with them while you can. You got to let them know about it while you can. While you got them here, that's when you got to work on them. And call one of the brothers to help you if you're a sister, or a weaker brother. Call one of the stronger brothers to explain some things to them. You know, you don't know it all, neither do I know it all. Neither do our elders know it all, but we can all lean on one another and bring it all together. He asked me a question I can't answer. Can you answer it for him? And then put that person in with you. Now you got a three-way conversation going on. But whatever it takes to get people to come unto the Lord, that's what we need to do. So how do I become a member of the Lord's body? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you're already a member, but you, some kind of way you walked astray, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you and then come forward in the church. And like I always like to tell you, when you get up here, just make your statement loud and clear. I don't need to know what you've done, but just simply say that you want us to pray for you. Don't get up here and mumble. Because then you're not talking very loud. You're not talking to anyone. You're talking to yourself when you're mumbling. Get up here and state whatever it is that you want to say and say it. Face the audience. Because if you want me to pray for you, I got to know what I'm praying about. I don't need to know what specifically it was, but I need to know at least what I'm praying about. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
John.